Here we go. We are live. We're back. It's been a few weeks off, but we're back for some end product, So Rare podcast action. I'm Quinny, of course, and I guess I'm doing the intro this time, but normally I'm the sparring partner, but our sparring partner here, Stishy Boy, is back in the continent, not even in the country, and we're back at it. Stishy, good to see you, mate.
Hey, good to see you, mate. It's been. It feels like it's been ages. It's been about 3 weeks, but it feels longer. I think... Yeah, it's good to be back, mate. It's good to be in the mix. I've been keeping up with what's going on as best as possible. But yeah, have you had any interesting end product to report the last few weeks since we've been out of action?
No, I've not had anything interesting. Nothing interesting. I've had things, but I don't know if I would call them interesting. All the interest and all the intrigue, and I do not envy you the position you've been in, Stish, because you've been. You're globetrotting for the last like month or so, give or take, you know, and any So Rare scout or manager listening to this will be thinking about what they've been doing over the last 2 or 3 weeks in particular, and not having access to your computer, not having proper like So Rare time to like, you know, bat everything around. It must have been awful, mate. How are you holding up?
It was weird, right? Like the funny thing about being on that side of the planet, for anyone listening, I've been around Asia, so I started off in China, and I think the difficult part in China is a lot of websites and internet access is blocked and things are just different. It's very difficult to get like your sort of regular internet access out there without using VPNs. And I was having issues with the VPN that I use, and it was a pain for a few days until I managed to get my phone sorted out. But when you're on that side of the planet, it is like So Rare's flipped on its head in terms of like, we're back at home in the UK. I'm used to waking up on the weekend and I've got my K-League on TV. You know, my J-League results, some of them have come through. The Americas have happened while you're asleep a lot of the time. And then you kind of get up, and as the day goes on, you get through your European football. And over there, it's like the opposite. You kind of wake up and all of the Champions League has been happening through the night, like 3-4 in the morning. And the Premier League kicks off about midnight, something like that. So most of the European football happens like in the early hours of the morning, and then you're waking up and you might get a bit of American football, and then through the day you get in your K-League, J-League. So it was like the opposite of what I was used to. So I did stress a little bit on like when's the deadline, trying to figure out what time have I got to get my teams in and stuff like that. And it was an experience, but it did mean that one of the good bits of end product that I can report was on the weekend just gone, I think it was like a double game week for Ulsan, and I put Seol Yong-woo as my captain in Cap 240 Super Rare. He didn't play the first game at all, so I kind of thought hopefully he's not injured, and it just meant they dropped him for the Champions League game. So he did come in the Champions League game. He managed to nick a goal, and he put me right up into fourth place on Cap 240 Super Rare. So I got the 400 point threshold, which is lovely, and I got a card win. Which wasn't as exciting, to be honest. It's Chris Donovan from Philadelphia. So one plus, I guess you could say, is, you know, we just had the announcement of this MLS tournament. So I do have an in-season MLS Super Rare. However, not the best scorer and not the most reliable in terms of starting positions, that kind of thing. So he's not the most useful card. But I also managed to pick up Emil Fredriksson. I think that was in a U23 rare. He plays in Rosenborg. So might be quite a useful card, a little bit of differential there, something a bit unusual compared to what's in my gallery. But he seems to be a pretty decent scoring U23 forward in season. I'm just looking now at some of the other bits I've won since we last spoke. I did win a Victor Boniface. Obviously, he's been injured, but I still think that's a great reward. I won him a few weeks back. And another one that was a little bit of a kick in the nuts was I won Kepa Arrizabalaga. He's probably currently, I guess you'd put him third place, maybe currently second place in the Real Madrid pecking order. But obviously with Courtois to come back and Lunin doing a good job, I'm not sure how useful he'll be in his in-season status. Maybe I'll get some use out of him next season. But won him. But yeah, it's been a great few weeks in terms of travel. But yeah, like I said, trying to keep up with everything that's been going on I was saying to you off air, I haven't listened to any podcasts, watched any live streams. You know, I've read a couple of the updates on the So Rare app, but it's been really hard to keep up to date with just the general goings on and all of everyone's sort of thoughts and ideas and how to tackle things strategy wise. So it's good to get back in here with you, Quinny, because I'm going to be picking your brain today on some of the bits I might have missed, because I think we're getting close now, aren't we, to the big shift. And yeah, I sort of had a little look on the plane coming back on the Sora Data app, just trying to go into the lineup builder, seeing they've made some changes there. I don't know about you, but for me, some of my lineup builders were giving me incorrect options and stuff like that. So it was a bit difficult to lump in my three teams. But I think I'm going to have three champ lineups, possibly four, like one in season and three classic season. And I think U23, I'm pretty sure. Does U23 work in classic and current as well?
No. Classic only.
Classic only. So I have three U23 lineups and a U23 Super Rare lineup. But the glaring problem for me is still Champ Super Rare, having a fair few decent cards there, but no goalkeeper. And it's like, oh, the one thing you don't want to buy on the platform is a Champ Super Rare starting goalkeeper. So, I'm really intrigued to hear what you've been up to, particularly the last few weeks. I'm sure a lot of your subscribers on YouTube and that probably heard some of it, but if you've got any sort of like key takeaways from what you have been working on, any pointers for me, who's probably going to be kind of starting the backlog of the planning of it all. Like, where do you start with this?
A pen and paper is definitely the first thing you need, because the lineup builders and stuff, you're just not going to be satisfied that you've really laid out the pieces on the board and you've really been able to see what you've got and where it is and everything. So, a lot of great people joining us in the chat, dropping the fist bumps as well. Good to see you, by the way. Just wanted to give you a shout out there. But I think it's good for the podcast anyway, because we have been away for a few weeks just to at least kind of cover the bases, and doing it, I guess, condensed rapidly is probably decent. And yeah. I guess it's good as well, because everyone's takeaways have been a little bit different. Also, I've listened and watched everything that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. But I think first and foremost, the headline going from old system to new system for me is that, like, especially for the level of winning that you enjoy doing, Stish, whatever league you're going to be playing, you're going to need to be trying to build three teams of team one quality, you know, going into it thinking, like, I'll have one team that will do well, second team, who knows, and then third team will be a throwaway. Like, that's not the way this system's going to work for people that are going to be looking to hammer it, you know, especially in the classic mode, because it is going to be, no holds barred. It's going to be no holds barred.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this applies obviously to all scarcities, you know, so champion, like, so the thing I think everyone has their own degree of, I suppose, is, you know, winning your own battle, or what is winning for you now in terms of the existing collection and gallery you've got, you know, like enhancing or making sure that delivers on whatever it's supposed to. Like, you know, for yourself, and it's been maybe a U23, and, you know, it's quite similar to Harry in that regard. Harry's moved quite into champion as a result. But like the regions themselves, champion, contender, and challenger, you definitely, like, all three of them are going to be very difficult to win. The benefit you've got with champion is you have the additional utility and subsequently thinning of the field, the La Liga, the Bundesliga, and the Premier League competitions will offer in the classic mode and going forward in the new season as well. So even people like me, who, like, everyone associates me with contender cards now in terms of like Celtic or whatever, and everyone in MLS now is quite firmly in that challenger band, and there's a few other kind of cohorts of the leaderboard of the community that kind of naturally are like have a gallery that works in a region kind of already. And because the biggest prizes, like, we've seen already that there's an MLS special weekly, which is, you know, get some chunky money on it for 3 weeks, let's say. Mm-hmm. And thinking that being the MLS and the difference in payout potential you would see between MLS and Premier League full stop, like, I think, like, it's quite obvious, like, if you have been listening to this podcast, or you have been playing So Rare for like over 6 or 8 months, especially, but really for everyone that's been here before the announcement, but especially if you've been here over 8 months to a year on the platform, you want to make sure that the work you've been putting in matters still. You know, there's nothing worse than like all this graft that we've been putting in turning into dust. And basically the biggest pot, the biggest thing, you know, for me in terms of payout potential is Champion. In every scarcity, there's just no getting away from it, you know. So whatever your starting position is with Champion, it might be zero. You might have no cards in it at all. Maybe you're missing a keeper. Maybe you're missing the third keeper. Maybe you're missing strikers or whatever it might be. That's your starting position with it. Now, maybe some people don't want a starting position right now and they're just sailing away into it. And they're just like, hey, I'll take my time, maybe going back to that in the future. Who knows? And you know, it's different degrees of it. I don't think the market has went mad for Champion, but it's definitely remained stronger than the other segments of cards in the market, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of, I don't think everyone has really revealed their hand in the market yet in terms of lots of clubs or galleries really just ironing in their strategy, because you need so rare supply cards. You then need to see the competitions and feel them for yourself, because, you know, for the amount of people that don't talk about having three teams of team one level quality now, like in terms of preparation or advanced going forward kind of strategy, like I think it's a big thing everyone's missing at the moment. I'm trying to say it every time I'm kind of speaking at the moment, just to make sure that whoever does catch the videos, you know, because when it starts, especially Classic, it's just going to be 13, 14% cards everywhere, you know, and it is every like right now, when we get to August, every card that's here now and every card they're going to make until August basically is a Classic card, you know, for August then on, if you get me. So the level of competition is going to be insane. We've had the prize pool reveal, which I won't walk you through in this, and I'll probably pause for a breath, because anyone listening to this who has been around for the last month probably didn't need the previously on. But that's my number one takeaway, is like you're going from needing one O'Reilly and Veerman to you probably now need two of each of them.
Yeah.
Or you need five guys that are like them, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt looking at where I'm at the moment. When I started piecing bits together on the plane, I think at the moment my first sort of port of call is what are my in-season options, and trying not to use any of them where, you know, they might be used otherwise. So the first thing I looked at was like, what are the strong in-season cards? And I'm fortunate that I've won, and I've been lucky actually. All of my in-season cards I've been won. I don't think I've bought or traded any in, but I've got Kimmich, Kane, Cancelo, Diaz, all in season. So if you put those four in a good lineup with maybe like Donnarumma or Ter Stegen, that's a great in season lineup there. So I think as well, from the way that So Rare have communicated it, I'm expecting that I'll be lumped in that first week, probably in tier one or tier two, like tiers, like league, like top division. Because if you've got Mbappe, Kane, players like that, you're not going to be in the middle, are you? Right. And I'm not going to argue that. I think I do have,
but some really, if I can step on you there, but it is rare and super rare now. So your pro like angle of mixing stuff, that's like totally, so
that's it.
You probably will be rare, but with super rare, you're probably not going to be the same.
Well, if that's it, hopefully they don't just lump the whole gallery into like tier one in that. I think in rare, I'd be surprised if I'm not put in that top bracket. But in super, maybe then there is a chance for me to find my space a little bit more, because I think my gallery is a bit spread out in super rare, where I think my super rares have been U23 and like all-star type. Like I don't have like a big stack that I used to use in Contender or in America or even in Asia for that matter. But I think with Asia getting lumped in with a few of the other bits that I've got, I might have an okay Contenders super rare option, and possibly an okay Challenger as well, because I've got an MLS goalkeeper there. And some, obviously I've got Veerman and I've got some good pieces for that. But yeah, the glaring gap in my situation is super rare champ, because I've got quite a lot of champ super rares, but no goalkeeper. And none of them are like, I mean, I think Frimpong's probably like one of the sort of key. He's a good champ card that I've got. And then I've got like Roberto, and I've got Chris Furyk. I've got some good scoring champ super rare cards that I think if they found themselves in the right division with a, with an average goalkeeper, I might be able to compete. Maybe not at the top end, but, you know, maybe in like Div 2, Div 3, and expect to like find myself in like in content for to challenge for something, right? And every on any other, I might be one of those up and down Div 1, Div 2, game week to game week type players. So, but I think it's quite hard to plan for that. I don't know if anyone else is in the same boat as me, but when I look at it, I think the way I expect things to pan out for me personally will be, and probably for a lot of people, we'll get lumped into a division that might be a little bit higher than we can stretch for across multiple lineups, right? So I think, like I spoke about my champ in season, I think that is a good lineup. But then once I put those pieces in that team, all of my classic season champ cards are a little bit less, you know, punchy. And the good ones, I'm probably going to be looking at putting into U23, where I think they might, you know, like hit a little harder in that division, as opposed to, so I'm talking about players like Wirtz and Musiala. I'd probably rather use them in U23 and see how we get on down there, as opposed to using them in champ. But in not using them in champ, my second and third sort of champ teams are probably going to be Div 2, maybe even Div 3, but they're going to take a few weeks, aren't they? They're going to take a few weeks to find their way down, getting knocked out of the cards and that. But I'm just eager to get on with it now. I'd love if there was like a test version of this, you know, if like, it'd be nice to put my teams in as if the change was happening now, but like, just like if anyone from Surreal Data can do that, it'd be great if we can like do a virtual draft of like the split this week. So it's like, right, put your teams in, put your real teams in, obviously on the SoRare app, but then like maybe there's a side pot on SoRare Data that's like, here's like the test pool. Like, put your three lineups in now for this weekend, and they'll score and like go up against anyone else who does it based on, and just so we can get a feel for the game model. I think it's so hard to gauge or understand how competitive we're going to be. And I think that for me, that's where I get cold feet in terms of like dipping into the market, doing anything just yet. Because I don't really know until I start playing how competitive I'm going to be, or how close to being competitive I'll be as well. Because if I find that first few game weeks, I'm like, yeah, I've been lumped into Div 1 across the board or whatever, and I've got one or two lineups that can compete at that level, it's going to take me a few weeks to like just get knocked down a few tiers before I can go, right, now I know what I need, and now I know, or now I know what's excess baggage in my gallery, and I just need shot of it.
Yeah.
So it's been tough. I don't know about anyone else, but obviously, like, I've been listing a few of my rewards of late that just aren't much of much use to me, but are in season. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, people might be trying to plan for this now. But I haven't had a great deal of offers. I mean, granted, they're not like heavy hitting players that I'm trying to shift here, but it's been hard. And I think, so the fact that maybe I've not been getting many offers on what I'm listing, I am wondering if like a lot of people feel the same way I do about the planning situation at the moment. It's just like, I don't feel like I can make any moves until I really know what I'm competing for, or how competitive I am, and like how close as well. Because I think if I don't feel like I'm close to being competitive, I'll probably wait a little bit longer until I can figure it out. It might take a few months of just sitting on the sidelines and scratching my head, I think. I think it's going to be a big process. But
Rico Man adds in a nice detail to this. So your first team will be, like I say, Division 1. Your second team will be the division below that directly. And then your third team will be in the bottom division. So that's the way it's going to work for week one. But as you know, as Rico Man adds this in here as well, if you don't have three teams, you don't have the luxury. Because again, part of the thing that he's seen here is part of the angle will be maybe some people put a really strong team three out, you know, because... Yeah. It's in a lower division, and maybe, you know, that's other people's team ones and whatever. I don't think that, who knows? We'll see how that goes for the first week. But if you don't have three teams to submit, then you don't get that luxury.
That's it. That's true. And I think that that is a luxury that I do have. I should have multiple entries. I'm intrigued to see, like, am I going to actually have more entries this way than I usually have? But obviously, at the moment, the entries I do have, I feel quite confident about maybe like 60% of the lineups I'll put in on a weekend. I think, yeah, they could do something. And then the bottom 40% will be like hit and hope. Like, I may as well put a lineup in there. I've got the cards. But, you know, they're almost like training lineups with a potential to win on the off chance they get lucky. But in this new mode, I'm thinking, I reckon it'll be harder to compete with the top players in the game. But I think some of my lineups won't be a million miles away from some of their top lineups that they can put out as well. So I think I'm quite optimistic for it. I'm excited to just get on with it, though. I think this feels like it's dragging out now. I'm like, we just need to do this now. I need to rip the band-aid off and just get on with it. But yeah, I think for me, the main thing of late has still been attack them thresholds, Quinny. I don't know about you, but now, like more than ever, those thresholds are like gold dust. And I've been really fortunate. I've won, I've hit the 400 on Super Rare two or three times now, I think. And that's like, it's massive, especially when you compare it with the card win. Like I said, like finishing fourth the other day, and you think, oh, fourth place in a Super Rare division, I think it was a tier two or tier three. And you think, yeah, that could be pretty decent, but the card I won was worth 80 quid, probably, give or take. I've listed it higher because I think like it's number one win, whatever. It's hard to, that's the thing as well, is a lot of the cards number ones are like inflating their value. So if you're getting an in-season card of like, in my case was MLS, his number one's already been thing. So he's probably really high up in the reward pool compared to where he would be. You know, if you compare it to like his regular rare price, he's probably not worth a lot of money at all. But I mean, for me with the card wins as well, it's not necessarily about how much they're worth. It's about I need good in-season cards that I can put in the early days of like the cash reward games and just give myself an opportunity to enter those in seasons without investing too much new collateral into the platform while it's all a bit like, don't know what's going on. But that was a bit disappointing. But you know, when you've got that cash reward as well, which we're not going to have, that's the thing, isn't it? We've got these rewards that are there with our old cards at the minute, and I'm like, gotta go for the cash while I can. And also, you know, like with that cash, you can still win cards in a moment. Like we're going to really realize at the end of the month how lucky we've been for the last few years with cards and cash. And then it's going to be one or the other. I don't think it's going to take away from the enjoyment of it. I still think like the buzz will be there. You'll still want your teams to do well. You still want to win. Winning the good cards is going to be exciting still. But I do think that I'm really intrigued to see how competitive it's going to be. Because like we spoke about on the podcast before, some of these divisions are just going to have so many players in and so many similar lineups and stuff like that. So I'm really intrigued to just get on with it now. I want to see how many buy-in stacks we're up against, how many, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So the going for the money part is probably where the fork in the road comes for a lot of people in terms of how they go about that. What division, what scarcity, that kind of thing. And really with the classic cards, part of the strategy is, of course, acquiring in-season cards to then go on and further the cause in any given season. That's kind of the idea of them, because you own your game. You have them forever now, you know. So the in-season comp that we get kicking off end of March, it only runs for like 7 game weeks before we get the European off-season. And then everything will be back, all swinging and dancing. So we don't get Bundesliga or La Liga in this little handover period. It's only the Prem. But what we're going to see now is like maybe an intense version of what it's going to be like. Maybe less intense. I'm not too sure. Maybe you guys in the chat can let me know what your thoughts are. But definitely like a preamble to the main event, you know, of August, the proper, like, all new season cards coming out, all new season competition. How many teams are there? People scrambling for cards, people trying to win cards quickly and build a team with it or sell one or, you know, whatever's going on. So we've had a little bit of the new season hype on the market, of course, but when we see the competition actually come out and, like you say, people get a bit of a taste for how competitive they had to be at that point in the season, how many teams, players, player quality, price then comes into it as well, will be good. I personally, like, I've kind of locked out because of the way I'd been trading for the last couple of months. That I think I've got the ability to play two. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. It just went away, I think. It'll probably catch me in a second. Yeah, it is. But I'm lucky enough to have like the potential to play two in-season champion super rare lineups in March. You know, so obviously next season there's no new season cards. So I might run two teams in that between now and end of the season because I can, if you get me. And that's a bit of a Brucey bonus. And that's kind of how I'm looking at in-season in the handover period. It's like, personally, I've not went out and got rares or done anything else. I've not done anything for it. I've just kind of looked at what I've got there, and that's what I can kind of muster up. So, and I know some people have really went for it, but I never really went for the Premier League competition, right? The cash one there, because I was at the point of, I had bought into so many, not all, but so many, so rare, special weekly, random competition type things. Oh, I'll get the extra guy. Oh, I'll get the goalkeeper. I hadn't done it in a while, but I'd done enough of them and I'd been scarred from it. And when that came out, I thought, nah, I know how that goes. I'm not going to go overpay for cards and then finish 48th and not get anything or whatever the cutoff was. But a lot of people did. And a lot of people made bank from it because it was maybe a bit undersold or a bit understaked. You know, less teams were in it than maybe you might have thought. But I don't think that'll happen this time around. So... yeah, the how to approach going for the money part. If you've got anything in season at the moment, I think, like you were saying, some really good cards there earlier on, except for some of the ones you've won this season. So, you know, I like the chances.
I'm being intrigued to see how it does. I mean, does the in-season champ, when it starts, have the cash prizes and then the classic begins cards? Is that what happens at the end of this month? That's how I understood it. So I'll be really intrigued to see if that lineup can get close, because it is a good lineup. I think the only problem I've got with that lineup is, you know, like the Diaz Pep roulette, which you know, I come a crop or two on the weekend when he didn't play against Liverpool. That was a pain because the rest of that lineup smashed, and then he got a DMP. So that is the one issue that I will have with that lineup. But I think I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. But also the other moving piece that we can't really quantify is the reward boxes as well, and like how good they are to win. Like, that's quite exciting. Be interested to see what comes of that. Am I right in thinking that all, in terms of card rewards in the reward boxes, that'll only be limiteds, right? You won't be winning rares in there.
You'll win like the scarcity you're playing in until you get to the elite box, and then you can win scarcity up.
So you can potentially win rare cards in reward boxes with rare in rare.
If you win elite boxes, yes, right.
That's good.
Yeah, they're only available in Division One only. You know. The elite ones.
Cool, yeah, because I think if I can get a couple of teams into that Division One, I might not feel like I've got like the bangers that are going to do the business every week. But I think that I should have at least one lineup that could get into that like elite boxes area. If I remember rightly when I looked at it. That's quite exciting to see what kind of rewards you get out of those boxes. Obviously, most of them will be like tier fives and whatnot, but every now and then there'll be a little story, won't there, that someone hit a Tony Cruz or something like that, and yeah, that'll be exciting, definitely.
Yeah, the boxes are a funny one because I hadn't really realized until I watched the Penfez's like take on the thing when it came out, and it was when he got to the rewards, is like, you know, he's also explaining it, and then I kind of was like, oh, now I get that. And it's like, you know, if you've got three teams out, the way some of these boxes are paid out, like, you will have in some game weeks 10 boxes to open up.
Yeah.
You know, so there'll be points in them and boosts and some other toss that is fine to have, you know, but everyone's only after cards, of course. People are already getting the pitch out for a threshold in the box, you know, like a wee $5 or a little $20 or something,
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love that.
People already started the underground movement for that. We'll see over time how that develops, but it's basically just cards people are after with them. So because of the volume of them that will be produced, like, it will be, you know, maybe a bit of their charm won't always be there, you know, especially if you know it's not, because you've got Elite, Premium, Standard, and Light is the four tiers, basically. And as you can imagine, as you go down them, even if you're winning three of them, you're probably not that excited if they're all light boxes or something like that. Just depends on your level, of course, you know, and it's about RNG payout, and it's about quality of card that you can maybe theoretically use in your free, you know, because that's the teams you're going for there. But, you know, the direct word that I've got from Soria when I spoke to them about all the changes was, you will be happy to be playing in season. And the one thing I was upset about was the amount of cards you need in rare. It's 41. Yeah. That's not something I was too chuffed about. But basically, the resounding trump card in the conversation was always, you'll be happy you've got them because it should be that good, kind of thing. That's the idea. So
I think at the beginning it's going to be less competition, isn't it? You're going to be paying to get in early to hopefully like scoop up as much of the rewards as possible, I guess, right?
But it also kind of pans out as well. That's definitely what a lot of people's first kind of take, right? But is, again, anyone who's been on the game for more than a full season will probably have like a decent grasp of, is that you know, that pays off more as the season progresses. Like when you've got your early edition name card, doesn't matter, and you get that early access into the season where maybe it's just transferred to a team, you've got the 5% in season bonus and whatever else has been going on. But you know that by the time you get to like this time of year, like February, March, April, if you've got a good player and you've been using them all season and they've been doing well, you'll definitely be seeing this stash with some of your cards. They will be on like a nifty bonus right now, you know, and this is a time of year where big players turn up, where big teams are looking for important results. You can forecast that, yeah, they're not resting or rotating or they're not taking this lightly. They need 3 points by any means necessary. You know, it's that time of year where everything can happen. So getting your guy in that early and then having the benefit of, by the time you get to back end of the season, you're like firmly the number one in season O'Reilly super rare holder or O'Reilly rare holder or, you know, whatever it might be. It might only be by 0.5% and it might only be for like 3 weeks or something, but, you know, these will be, but especially at that point, that those margins will matter, because at the beginning they don't, because it's only headcount. But as the longer it goes on, the margins become more and more important. So it's kind of like two aspects to the getting in early part, I think, as well. If you're going to stick it out for the season, it should kind of, you know, you should have a point where it bears some fruit in that regard, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking a little bit now at like the lineups that I put together. Another headache I've had is, and again, this is like, I don't want any sympathy for this because it's Mbappe, but what a pain in the arse he's been the last few weeks. What's going on at PSG? Like resting Mbappe and Donnarumma for like league games and stuff. That has been a pain in the arse for me in terms of trying
to. They have to win the Champions League this year, don't they? It's they had Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe. And now the last one that might be leaving is Mbappe. And they've not. They've been to a final. They've been to one final? No. They've not been to
a Champions League final yet, have they?
No, they've not even been to. No.
They had a big Scottish. They had a big cup game last night, which when I last.
I think I'm getting World Cup final flashbacks of Mbappe and stuff like that. I think that's what's going on here.
He's not played in a Champions League final yet. I'm pretty sure.
Or maybe they did versus Bayern. Or maybe they did. Did they get to a final?
That's I have to look at that.
PSG. We need to check that. I've just totally. But yeah. Opened a can of worm on us there. But yeah, so I think it's just all on that, isn't it? It's make sure we win the bloody Champions League. But, you know, PSG are in a really good shape at the moment with Luis Enrique. I think they'll be kind of happy to see Mbappe go in some ways, because Barcola's coming on to a game. Dembele's coming on to a game. They've got Xavi Simons to welcome back in the summer as well. You know what I mean? They've got Kolo Muani and Ramos there, who they've both spent $500 million on or whatever. You know.
So they did play in the Champions League final. They lost to Bayern that season.
Of course, the 2020 season.
So Mbappe has played in the Champions League final, but
was Messi in that game? It must have been. No,
was that a lockdown one? Was that the season that no one went to watch? Maybe.
Yeah, it's the lockdown final. Leipzig got to the semi final.
Yeah, so they lost that one. Was that the lockdown year?
Totally stricken from my memory banks, that, by the way. Because the Champions League was like a condensed thing, wasn't it? It was like we had like a Champions League month where it was like quarterfinals and semi-finals back to the and
yeah.
Was it two legs or one leg? I can't remember.
That feels like decades ago, looking at the lineups and stuff now, and it's like...
Ah, yeah. Leva should have got the Ballon d'Or that year. That rings a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but... so, yeah, I guess... But it is a pain in the ass when you've got a card as good as that, and it's like he's always like... He's the best forward. I think that's another thing at the minute. I don't know about you, but forwards this season for me have been really hard to come by. Like a guaranteed smasher. Obviously, like Kane and Mbappe are my go-to guys, which is part of the reason why I've ended up playing champ as much as I have, because until I won those two cards, I wasn't really smashing through any of my teams in that division, apart from the odd occasion when Cherki like found his way into the lineup at Lyon. But I've got a lot of question marks over players on my weekends at the moment, and that PSG one's the most annoying one, because having Donnarumma and Mbappe at your disposal but you're not 100% sure if they're going to play is a pain, especially when you're trying to win those in-season champ cards at the minute. Like, I really want to be pushing for that tournament, but there's a big drop down from Mbappe. If I put Kane in one lineup and Mbappe in another, I think the next best option I've got after that's like Leon Bailey. I suppose Sancho's another one. He limped off last night, didn't he? So I'm not sure if he'll start the weekend. It was only cramp, but I don't know if he'll start the weekend. I wouldn't put him in a main lineup. But I'm looking at my teams. I do need to do a little bit of juggling on that for the weekend. And I think I do need to get the pen and paper out. Like you said, I think I need to start trying to piece together what these lineups are going to look like. And from what you're saying, so the U23 won't be an in-season and classic. It will just be classic, right?
Yeah, so you can't win money. Under-23 is only cards.
No.
And someone made clear earlier that you don't get reward boxes in the in-season competition either. It's strictly cash only, you know, not even boxes or anything. So it's sitting at the money table at the poker room, or go and try and get some funny fancy cards, some new shiny ones or something. But the forward spot has been a real difficult one all season. You know, we've got Agent Cooper as well in the chat talking about the joys this season of being a Villa fan, and Ollie Watkins has been a pretty good forward, but there's not been many guys like him about. You know, I know Girassi got a lot of headlines in the season, but he has missed a lot of time with injury. And all across the continent, all of the regular guys, like your Immobiles of this world and so on and so forth, none of them have been really like ever present in the leaderboards. And, oh, of course, he banged another, you know, 70 again. Or Sané was hot for a while. Kane, as you say, has been on all the time. But even in Challenger, like, there's not, unless it's Dominic Fitz. Dominic Fitz has been incredible. Yeah. So,
I think I'm looking at my lineups now for the weekend, and I'm thinking, MLS is probably like where all eyes will be on, you know, like the Messi card. He's a forward card, isn't he? Like, there's cards like Messi. I think Jesus Ferreira, I've got him, and obviously he kind of was coming back to full fitness, but I've noticed his scores have started to pick up a little bit more on the AA side compared to what he was doing last season. If you think a couple of seasons back when he was playing with Pepe in front of him or alongside him at Dallas, I think now they signed Musa. Ferreira is finding himself playing a little bit deeper, like in that sort of 10 role a little bit more, which is really good for his AA game. So when he does manage to get an assist or a goal, that's putting him in the higher bracket of, you know, that 70 plus scores as opposed to like 65s. So I'm excited to see if he kicks on this season. And I think with, like, on the flip side of having those Mbappes and that are all a bit of rotation, it does mean that, you know, you do have a almost guaranteed smasher in those midweeks when, as this time of the season comes, those midweeks get thinner and thinner, don't they? We only get Champions League final stages of the European games. And then we get like maybe some Championship, a bit of SPFL, and maybe a bit of Turkey. Turkey seems to have quite a busy. And then like La Liga 2 as well. La Liga 2 has a really busy fixture calendar at this time of the season, doesn't it? So what it does mean, I guess, is you've got closer to the end of the season in those champ pools, particularly in the midweeks, where you might only have 8 like Champ Euro teams playing. So if you've got an Mbappe and a Kane, then, you know, that's my time to shine, really. So I can moan all I want about the weekends, but I'm just going to have to make do with plugging someone else in, I think. But yeah, it is a difficult one, the forwards this season. You know, we spoke just then about, I mentioned, like, winning Boniface. He was a smasher at the beginning of the season before he picked the injury up. And yeah, I think another one of mine, looking at a good option I've got, is Fernando back to full fitness at Salzburg. He's come back in after the winter break and he's amongst the goals. He's starting games again. And he's been another one of my key options up front. So if anyone's not familiar with him, go check him out. I imagine he's probably quite a bargain at the minute, to be honest. I haven't looked at his price, but he seems to be a little bit more under the radar still, I think, especially with the Austrian Bundesliga being put into that contenders bracket. Maybe people are not as interested in picking up Austrian players, but the thing with picking up Austrian players in general, or any of these sort of like contender, I think one thing that is overlooked a lot is the potential for those players to go up in value when they move to a champ club. And if you're like smashing a team like Salzburg, you're only like two steps away from a transfer to Leipzig or somewhere else. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think there's other ways to play the game. That'll be interesting to see how those pan out. I think that they'll pan out a lot based on supply and demand, won't they? So if they can continue to get people onboarded to the game, you know, the supply starts to become less of an issue. And then you know, all boats will rise with the tide. But yeah, I'm still excited, enjoying the game. It is so hard to plan for it at the minute. And I think... another thing that I'm just going to miss Rare Plus so much. Looking at my lineups now, I think that is going to be sorely missed. And I think I might be using a lot of my super rares like as sort of rares in some lineups. I don't. Wow.
Controversial.
It's sad because they'll be good. They would be fantastic super rares, but I just don't think I'll have enough pieces to put on me. I think you're gonna need quite a few goalkeepers, aren't you? And I think I've got a few goalkeepers in super. I've got maybe four, let's have a look, maybe four starters at the moment, which isn't bad, but yeah, unfortunately no in-season starting super air goalkeepers, so my lineups are gonna get a bit crowded in super air quite quickly. I might only get like three or four out, which means a lot of those super airs that I usually use in Rare Plus are just going to be used in rare lineups. And I'm not going to get the benefit of them being supers anymore. We won't get that bonus that we get putting them in rares, will we? And I think that's the case with my uniques. I'm gutted Tony wasn't on. I really wanted to pick his brain on his kind of unique strategy. Been following his Twitter and what he's been talking about in the group chats and that. But find myself in a similar boat as I'm sure anyone who's got a couple of uniques in the gallery. But uniques are basically going to become rares or supers as well, aren't they? Unless you've got like enough of them to put a lineup together. But I need to figure out what to do with them as well. But I wonder if anyone's had much luck listing up their uniques. Quinny, you got a couple. What's your play been on your uniques in your gallery?
Well, they actually put me in a really funny position with it's the whole cross scarcity thing really disappearing that screws me with my uniques, because I'm firmly a super rare unique owner, you know, like playing them in super rare division or kickoff to try and get more, to try and then progress, which it doesn't really feel like possible anymore. So, but without the McGregor, with the McGregor, what I'm hoping to do, because it's had a lovely career at FC Barcelona and it is it's thoroughly paid for itself, that unique. Like if you look at we can maybe even have a quick glance at it for a giggle, but it has firmly, you know, paid itself off. It has been a fantastic card to buy, to own and do everything that I've done with it. For 1.888 ETH plus a Van de Voort trade around, but I'll just scroll down. You can see the names. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. There's a lot of them. He's involved in so many wins, so many wins for me anyway. 24 cards, and
look at that. Is that 5.5 ETH worth of cards he's won? Is that right? Right at the bottom.
So let's see what that chart is. It is value now. Total value of everything collected, I think, including the gaming yield, maybe. Or maybe that's just the card. But yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a great great innings. You can retire the squad number, mate.
So what I'm thinking is, if I can keep him on that kind of form until now in the end of the season, then I can probably swallow that being a super rare.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem then becomes I only have one team of that level in contender. Joe Hart is retiring, so I'm not going to have a goalkeeper for it either. I've only got a midfielder because of this unique. Sorry. Yeah, he's retiring. That's confirmed. Yeah, Joe Hart retires end of season. Confirmed.
Wow.
Yeah, so don't go buying one. No matter how cheap he looks.
If anything, I've got that a problem I never thought I'd have, but I've got too many goalkeepers at the minute. Like, I'm not using all my goalkeepers on weekends at the minute, so I'm definitely not in the market for another contender goalkeeper, 100%.
I have listed him for free. Offer's welcome, but you know, he's done well. If someone wants to pay me a lot of money for him that will fix my whole gallery up for me, then I wouldn't mind doing that. But I don't suspect that's going to happen, so I'm probably going to end up keeping it. But I will let a goalkeeper down. So that super rare Celtic team is actually a real thorn in my side right now, because it is firmly a love project that now really has no midfielder, if we take the McGregor out of the equation, and has no goalkeeper. So it's just four Celtic cards, essentially, is what it is. But I'm trying to play a bit of 4D chess, right? And I'll show you what I mean by this. I've kind of spoke about it in a few videos here now without totally giving the game away. But I have secured 4% election bonus.
Look at that.
Yeah, on the Girona stack. I don't have a goalkeeper yet, right? I don't have Miguel Gutierrez or Arnau Martinez. I have an in-season Aliash Garcia, so not this one. So I kind of need to swap them around later on when it doesn't cost me money. The unique one, I've not got his super, and then there's Tati. So there's like four or five guys still to kind of fill this up, and the 4% is locked in there. Now, what I'm kind of hoping 4D chess style, right, is this helps me with champion, maybe even La Liga, like super rare cards and all the rest of it. But see the shit guys in this team, and I've already got some of them, like Wanpei, Joe Roca, Javi Hernandez, Valerie, even the backup keepers even.
Yeah.
They could easily end up in La Liga 2, which is the same division as Celtic. So so I'm kind of looking at the shit players in this team now, and I'm thinking, should I just get them all and then wait for some of them to turn up in La Liga 2, and then I've got a Celtic Girona kind of thing on the go. And obviously, funnily enough, I've got a Girona unique that I've also got, and I've not got it listed this weekend, so I think he'll play and I want to use him. But he's in season stish. So I do, if I am going to sell that Martin, it really needs to be now, you know, because when he goes out of season, he's a decent guy, you know, and all the rest of it. But at unique level, maybe there's still a market for him. But the market for him is when he's in season, which is now. So I've got a bit of time. I'm going to use him this game week, and I'll probably have him listed continuously between now and end of the season. And I'll be really sad to sell him because it was a reward. I won him. And he's been quality. You know what I mean? He's been I don't think he's won. I think he's won one card that was shit. But he is a good player. Like, that's a quality tier four unique. I've totally lucked out with it, you know? So
I wonder if I can, because I've got that. I've got a Yunus Abdul Hamid unique from this season, which I won when I came first to Cap 240. So he's been great for.
He had a shocker of a weekend, but did he score an OG or give away a penalty or something? I seen him.
Yeah. And I really needed him to do well that week. But I've put him in this week. I've got him sort of penciled into All-Star Super Air, which looks a strong lineup. I've got Cook in goal, Jeremy Mello from Tenerife at the back, O'Reilly captain, Ferreira up top, and then Abdul Hamid unique. The lineup strength set at 71 by Sorare Data, which, you know, and Super Air, I think that you'll take that. So, yeah, I'm really looking at my uniques at the minute. I need to make sure I get some use out of them, because I'm not sure how useful they'll be. I think Abdul Hamid will be okay in super rare or rare because he puts up decent scores. But my other ones are a little bit like I bought them sort of for the future, you know, like Lee Hambom.
Yeah.
He started his first game for Michelin the other week and he got three decisives in the game, scored like 90 something. And then he sat on the bench the next week. So, I was expecting that when that move come through, I thought, you know, he's one for maybe next season, but by the time he does become useful, I'm not sure how useful he'll be in my gallery. But I think that's one thing about uniques, is that there might not be as much
availability.
Yeah, so like there might still be a bit of a demand for the off-season unique cards if they're good scorers. So I'm hoping that he becomes a good scorer. And like similarly with you, McGregor, I think Lehan Bombs won me some really good cards and money anyway. And it's a rookie card. I think he goes into the national team at some point, probably in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So I'm not massively disappointed about that one. I think the Levitt one is a bit of a difficult one. It's like, oh, Levitt, he's not smashing it at Hibs, but he's one of those players that when he hits form, he's a great scorer, but he's not much use to me if I can't play him in Super Rare. So
when does he age out? Are you 23?
I think he's got another season left.
Because you could play him under 23 Super Rare if you had a team for that. He could be a midfielder.
I've got a couple of U23 goalkeeper Super Rares that are playing at the moment. Possibly three if Saul's goalkeeping situation changes. But yeah, I'm just looking now. So he's got another season, Levitt, under 23 till 25. So yeah, he might not be the worst one, especially if Hibs improve or if he moves. But yeah, I don't see him moving. I don't know about you. You follow the SPFL more than I do, but
well, he's signed, hasn't he? A contract. Yeah, has to be a free agent. So
I don't think he moves from there next season. So hopefully they just improve and he finds his place there a little bit more, because he's not putting up the scores he was putting up for Dundee United. But I expected him to do better than he has done. But yeah, he's not here. He's not set the matrix on fire this season. Let's say that.
No.
But yeah, it's I don't know what to do with my uniques, but I think maybe I do what you do, and the weeks I'm not using them, maybe just list them, see if you just get a random spec.
Leicester play season, mate. Leicester play season.
That's it. But I think
no training. No training.
Yeah.
No training for you, buddy.
No way. I think I'll be using Abdulhamid and possibly Levitt this weekend. But yeah, Lehan Bomb. And I've got Ayu Musekko as well. So if I do use them, they tend to go in like kickoff just with a bunch of random.
Which is usually, now but dead and totally pointless for a minute. So even when it is open still, it's like, why would you even now want to play it if you have less than 10 uniques or 10 supers or 10 rares?
Exactly. You know. If I'm not going to win a unique goalkeeper, then it's not much point in.
If it's not a goalkeeper, then fuck it off.
I mean, I'm short of forward as well, but I'm pretty sure when it moves into scarcities, you can't use a super rare in unique division, right? Is that right?
Nah, it's meant full coloured, full. Which I think pays off for. I don't think I've heard anyone really talk about this in any great length, so maybe I'm wrong. But I think this move, the killing of the pro, I think it really does help the super rare galleries that haven't really felt strong on the leaderboard, if that makes sense. I'm probably one of them outside of the Celtic stuff, you know, because so many big supers are now kind of floating around. I'm hearing about people picking up some odds and ends, of course, for squads and that kind of thing. But I do think that, I think the super rare dynamic is probably, it's coming to a lot of people's attention. There's a lot of super rares that are going mad cheap as well on auction. Oh, yeah. See if you've got a wallet and you can sit and look at auctions and pay attention to decent guys that are just going unnoticed, essentially, because they're just not in vogue for whatever reason. There is some right bargains getting on. So it's maybe a time to be shrewd. And honestly, Stish, all the way through this update, I've been thinking about how fucking great a position you're in with your big fat wallet of ETH, you know, this whole time as well.
Yeah. Mate, yeah. We haven't even spoken about that, but like, I think, yeah, obviously, if anyone follows sort of like crypto as well, obviously this is a football game, but it is built on crypto. And I was brought into it through like having an ETH balance in the first place. But for the last sort of 6-7 months, I've just been cashing in all of my rewards, not cashing in, like all of my cash rewards, rather. I've just been saving them up. And I've been saving them up for two reasons. One, because I wanted to, rather than like just keep buying cards, I felt like my gallery got to the place where I had a lot of really good cards, and I was actually got to the point where I'm leaving out good cards, like certain good players who I'm thinking are going to start are still not in my lineups because they don't, I've got enough lineups or whatever. So buying more cards didn't make sense. It probably does now because of the way the game's changing, being able to like enter three teams, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, having multiples of cards might not be a bad thing now. But for me, it was also like the play on, I felt like we were due a bull run in the crypto space. So holding on to ETH and letting that run up to the point that it does. But yeah, I withdrew some ETH off the platform just to put it back into some crypto stuff. So like I'm juggling crypto and So Rare again now, which I haven't really been doing for a long time because the crypto space has been in such a mess for the last couple of years in the bear market. But now, and I wonder, I think that is probably another reason why, you know, there'll be a certain section of the So Rare market that's not maybe as engaged with So Rare right now because they're keeping an eye on what's kicking off here. Silly meme coins over here, new protocols over here, airdrops over here. It's like, again, like your brain has to be in two places again, which I hadn't been for a long time. But like you said, it does mean I do have that ETH balance now. And if and when I feel like it's time to strike, then I do have that ETH balance there. I don't have to like take money out of my bank. Like it's on the chain. I can kind of redeploy it. But yeah, I do have, I've got a fair few quid still on the platform. I didn't withdraw all my ETH, and I've got quite a big cash balance as well. So yeah, I didn't take it all off. Like I'm not planning on not spending, if that makes sense, but I'm also trying not to spend that's my strategy at the minute. Try not to spend money, but have enough money on the platform if you need to spend money. That's my strategy going forward. But yeah, at the minute, I just can't make sense of hitting go on anything just yet. But I'm trying to. It's a bit. The only obvious things are like try and maybe sell the uniques. Don't think they're going to be of that much use to me. And maybe trade up to getting a goalkeeper in super rare. But again, like I'm thinking about in season. Oh, my in season. I haven't got an in season super rare keeper. But I'm not going to have one next season. If I buy one now, come August, he's going to be out of season. So it makes no sense to me doing it right now. Because like you said, you're probably only playing for like 7 game weeks or something like that with your in-season card. So unless it looks really easy to win money, I don't see any point in doing that just yet. But come the new season, it might make sense. Looking for food says, let me know how that strategy goes, Dish. I never know when to build cash. I think if you can, for me, like the strategy, I think it was the last update when they added more cash prizes into like All-Star and All-Star Rare Pro. And I know we definitely spoke about it on the podcast and off air, Quinny. We were like, if you can hit that, you're hitting a good reward, but you're also hitting cash. So when you do hit the cash, you normally get a half decent card as well. So if you get really lucky, and I definitely did get very lucky in the last sort of 7 months, I won some massive cards like Kane, Mbappe, I don't think that would have been previous, but yeah, like Kimmich, Kane, I've won some really big cards, Cancelo. They're the sort of cards that you would have saved up money to try and bring in. So when you win them, but you've also got the money, you don't need to spend the money. So it was like, that's how I managed to build that ETH balance, was like, you've got the money, but you don't need to spend it because you've just won Harry Kane, or you've won the card that you kind of needed. And I won a few more champ goalkeepers. Like a year ago, I wasn't really looking at champ at all till I won that Mbappe and that Donnarumma in the space of 2 weeks. Then all of a sudden, champ is like, you've got champ bangers now. Like you can't play him in U23 anymore. You've got to play him in champ. So, you know, alongside players that I've had in my gallery for ages, like Kroos and Di Lorenzo and people like that, like I had good. So I think the strategy was try and win the cash. And if you can win the cards at the same time, then you don't need to spend it. And that was my thing for probably since last summer, really. That was pretty much what I've been doing since the turn of this season. And I don't know if that strategy will work going forward because you need new cards to win cash. So that strategy may change. I might come like August. I might be like, do you know what? Actually, I think I might try and swap into some new cards, take the hit on some of the old ones, because obviously the value goes is definitely going to go down over the summer on a lot of the off-season cards. But I think the big if is like, yeah, it probably will be really easy to win cash in those first few game weeks because there won't be as much competition. But to get involved, you're going to be massively overpaying for those first few mints of the cards. Like where we saw the spike on the number ones, I think we're going to see spikes all the way up to like number 10, number 12 of cards, because that first few game weeks, you might only be playing, let's say the first 100 places pay out in Premier League, Bundesliga, La Liga, Champ, and so on and so forth. If you've got the PSG or the Bayern stack before anyone else has got it, you know, they only need to win their first five games and they'll kind of repay your investment. But your Harry Kane card, number one to number 10, is going to be about five times the price it will be come Christmas. So you have to be prepared to, like, you're buying those cards to win cash. You're not buying them for like long-term utility like we used to. That's how I see it anyway. If you're buying cards now, you're buying them for this season. You're not buying them for life. I don't know. Maybe that will be maybe that will change. But the way I see it at the moment is if you're buying cards now, you're buying them for the midterm, not for long-term. Like, you can still play with them, don't get me wrong, but you can't be looking at the card's value. Once you've bought it, you're buying it to win its value back. Yeah. You're buying it as a long-term investment because it's going to go down in value. There's unless SoRare's onboarding goes absolutely bonkers and all of a sudden there's a million people playing this game every week instead of, like, you know, if it 10x's, then yeah, the card values will go up on across the board because the supply won't be there. But yeah, I think the in-season game is going to be like a high rollers game. Because even like these big whale galleries, they're going to be scooping up the new cards. They're going to be continuing to play the game the way they have, I think. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I think, but you can try to make it a bit more friendly to yourself longer term. You know, like, can't think of a good example off the top of my head, but some teams are a bit more flash in the pan. You know, like Villa last season were a great SO5 team. And you know what? This season, they've been a great SO5 team again. Maybe the team hasn't been as regular. Or maybe it's a wee bit harder to pick some of the guys, but, you know, they were a good team. So if you got them in season last year and you kept a hold of them, you'd have probably, you know, like if you had a big collection, you got to 13%, 14% cards. You know, season two of that, Villa to Glory might have been fun in that new model, if you know what I mean. But maybe not, like, and again, it's hard to judge what teams are flashing the pan or not. You can maybe see it sometimes with some teams that really overshoot expectations and then kind of dwindle away. But so I think a lot of people will hurt themselves with maybe a bit of that mentality of, like, they're going to zero end of season. That's the way to think about them. So because I think that that puts unnecessary pressure. Now, you do need to win, of course. That's probably that is. You are paying a premium to access the money to tournament. So if you don't yield, if you don't return, it is a failure of an endeavour. No two ways about it. But does that need to be where 100% of the wins come? It's never been like my club's philosophy. You know, I've always personally wanted to. I'm always buying guys that are kind of out of it at the moment. And it's like, oh, yeah, but when this new manager comes in or when this transfer happens. So my gallery's always been in that perpetual state of picking up the unwanteds anyway and waiting for them to come good, and outside of the Celtic stuff, obviously. Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting to see how it pans out. But I think trying to win the new cards, and I suppose if you do win the new cards early on in the season, if you want to sell them, I think you'll get good prices. So I think that the sentiment will be pretty good in that initial few weeks because people playing the cash games will be buzzing because it'll be easier to win the cash. And they won't be bothered that they've overpaid for the cards or whatever. And those of us playing the old off-season card games, hopefully we'll be winning boxes when we're not winning things. And, you know, you've got the buzz of opening something at least. But also, if we do win any in-season cards in the first sort of 2 months of the season, you're going to be buzzing because I think you'll be able to sell them for, like, a lot of money, especially if they're half decent. They won't need to be like bangers either. Like if you win a Premier League card in that first, like, you know, first month of the Prem, and it's a starter, someone will have that off you. Someone with a collection will have it. And I think I think the market's going to be like very liquid in that first few months for new season cards. So I think people that are winning cards will be happy. People who are winning cash will be happy. The only people who will be unhappy will be those of us who maybe that I think the elephant in the room is collections. A lot of people collect teams in limited, you know, like some teams, if we use Villa as an example again, let's say Villa stacks come in game week 2, and we've got new season cards, we've got off seasons, we've had what, 2 seasons of Villa now. There must be, I don't know, 700 limiteds of Ollie Watkins in rotation or something now. On that first game week, whatever, let's say Villa absolutely smash, win 8-0 and everyone scores 100 points.
Great guess, Stash. 700.
How many is there?
700. Well guessed.
Bang on it. Well guessed. There's going to be 700 people with that old season Ollie Watkins card in Champ Classic or Premier League Classic. It'll be like the top 50 managers will all have almost the same lineup, just slightly different captains and XP. So those people are going to be the ones that get annoyed, I think. The stack runners be like, they'll be kicking themselves. If you're not like the top collector of your team for one of those seasons and you haven't absolutely rinsed all your XP, you know, you might want to look at your coins now and start using those XP boosts. If you're a stack player, get on those XP boosts, man, because in the classic season tournaments, you're going to be playing against 5-6 people with the same lineup as you, definitely. And in limited, it might be 20-30 people. So, I'd be really interested to see how that
could be 50 lineups.
It could easily be the top 50 lineups in limited that are exactly the same, yeah. Just maybe different captains or different XP.
But, captain and XP is going to be a huge one. Because with some of them, it is like the, you know, if it is Aston Villa and there's a predicted 11 that's fairly reliable,
yeah,
most people are probably, as long as they beat the team 3-0 or 3-1, they'll have the same goalkeeper-defender combo. They've went with Douglas Luiz in midfield, they went with Watkins up front, and then the fifth man, it would just be whoever the fifth man was. Yeah. That'll be the top 50 teams, whoever picked that guy, you know.
Yeah, you're going to see it a lot in Champ and, you know, in the Bundesliga division particularly, it'll be like, you know, Leverkusen and Bayern stacks are just going to clean up most weekends. It's like,
one's interesting, you know, now you bring that up, because the Bayern stack is the thing, isn't it? But if you had the Bayern stack in season or classic, let's say, at rare or limited, are you playing Bundesliga or are you playing Champ?
That is the one bit, like you said, that's what thins it out compared to maybe like Serie A or Ligue 1, not having those like in-season tournaments. But if you've got the Bundesliga, I don't know, man. Would you go? I guess it depends on the cash rewards, doesn't it? And obviously, if you've got, you're only competing against Bundesliga teams in Bundesliga, you know, on a given game week, let's say you've got a Bayern stack and Leverkusen are playing Leipzig. You're paying your Bayern stack in the Bundesliga tournament that week, surely. But then on another game week, you might be like, a lot of the people who play stacks will have multiple lineups they can put through as well, especially now. Yeah, if you're a collector, you'll have like 2 Neuers or you'll have 2 something, because you'll be able to run 2 different teams in the same division. So you might have 1 Bayern team in the Bundesliga and you might have 1 Bayern team in the Champ. You might go vertical on it, you know, like the old vertical stacking. Now you'll be able to put the same lineups in the same tournament. So you could have literally like, you could hit double bubble with the same lineup, just maybe the XP slightly lower on another one if you've got, you know, multiple copies of Bayern cards or whatever. I'm thinking now, I've got 2 Pavlovic. I could almost do that with the beginning of it with Salzburg. Have a little Salzburg vertical going on. But then we might see some of that as well, where like certain managers or collectors, you know, like YNWA, Liverpool hits a big score and he's got the top 3 places in the same division. that will annoy people as much as really. It's going to annoy people, isn't it? Like, oh, he's won it three times. That's not fair. How's that fair? But it is the game, and it's going to happen. But I think ultimately, majority of us will be happy. I think those first few game weeks, it might be frustrating if we find ourselves in a division too high, and you've got to like wait your turn, like lose a couple of weeks before you start winning. But yeah, it is planning season, isn't it, Quinny?
After this weekend, we get the international break, and then after that, we get the first taste of this. So we'll get the, but we've still got All-Star cap modes are still going to be and on the side, still doing the same thing, of course, until August. So we will have a little bit of thinning of the leaderboards even now. But I think so many people, like I can talk from my experience, right? I've won fuck all thresholds since they made any of the changes that they made, adding on scarcity bonus. And then the target change, I've not picked a freshie up since then. It's absolutely ruined me. For some reason, I don't get it. But and I know, speaking from that point of view, and you're the opposite, Stish, you've been scooping them up, and there'll be people in the middle of us, I'm sure. But if you're not winning thresholds, it's really easy to just forget that the cap modes are even still sitting there and just go in-season money. I know what I'm doing there. I'll just go and finish 50th and I'll get 20 quid or something or whatever the division is. So it will be an interesting one, to say the least. You know, we might see these legacy divisions. Maybe nobody plays them.
You know? Who knows, mate? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, even since the Asia and Americas have opened up recently, I'm just so focused on trying to get thresholds and any cash rewards in that I can at the moment, that even my good Asia cards, I'm just like, if they're better than the other options, they're going in also. Right now, like All-Star and cap modes is just like get it in, get the money in, get the cards in. If you can get the cards in with the money as well, you're laughing. So yeah, I'm just massively focused on that for the next few months, and hopefully, you know, I'll have a decent ETH balance there, and then I can make the decision on in-season cards when it comes. But you know, I've never been involved in the Premier League like in season tournaments, but I know a lot of people that got involved in those early doors have been done well out of it. I think my brother, who's like a newer player of the game, he plays the Premier League games, and he's done quite well out of it with his like Palace team. So yeah, he's got a Palace team. He's got a few bits and bobs. So I think players like him, and in one who does play the stacks, or maybe like really like focuses in on one league, I think this update is for them, really. Like maybe that is because it is, I think it's the most simple way to get started, isn't it? It's like, play the players you know, play the teams you know. If you know the starting 11, you know like who's not going to get dropped, and then do that. And then, yeah, be interesting to see how it plays out. But especially for the stackers, I'm really intrigued to see how it plays out for them, because you're playing mostly against the collectors of the same team that you're stacking.
So what you mentioned is probably what the strategy I'm going to try and deploy is, like, try and get the best team out as often as possible. Yeah. But what you can do, what I've also thought about, and what I'm sure a lot of people will do, if you've got the Bayern team, for example, and it's like, oh, I don't know if Delict plays, but if Delict plays, he'll kill it. And, well, I know these three guys will all play, but who will score the best? And then between your three teams, you risk reward all your players on that basis, you know, like, yeah. You know, them playing or them not, if you're going for the collection. And if you do take the risk on, oh, well, I did get Delict into a team that had a Kimmich with it, and Delict did start and he got a goal from the corner, no one else played Delict, and you know, whatever. So
yeah,
20 people played Delict rather than 40, you know.
True. Yeah, something. That's it. That's where the differential comes in, isn't it? It's like, you're gonna have to take a gamble sometimes on smacking like your Tati Castellanos in the lineup or something like that, like,
yeah,
on the right weekends. But yeah,
for sure. A lot of thought put into stacking now. How do you stack? What type of stack attack are you doing this weekend? You know, are you copying and pasting for free, or are you hedging bets against the strikers or the super subs, or I don't know.
So, I like Daniel Cooper's comment. Stackers will be horrified by the need to actually put thought into their lineups. Yeah. I mean, we've called it on this before, the old stack. I love a sandwich stack. your defense and your attack, and then one in the middle, like that could be a complete random, or it might be another player from either of those two teams. But that's how I've been playing it a lot. It's like, now I've got that, like, I've got a few Bayern players, I've got a couple of PSG, I've got like a Barcelona like defensive pairing of Cancelo and Ter Stegen. So it's like, right, I can go Barcelona defense, Bayern attack, or I can go Barcelona defense, Bayern midfield, Mbappe up top, or something like that. And I think that's how I, if I stack, that's how I stack. I never go full team stack. I've never done that. But yeah, in my head, that gives me that at least means I'm not competing against other people that are collecting the teams I'm playing. But yeah. I mean, that's common as well. Like, other people do what I do. Like, they'll pick a good attacking team and a good defensive team and put them together. So there will still be managers out there that I'll look and be like, oh, he's got almost the same lineup as me. But very rarely do you get like exactly the same and with the same captain pick and all that. But yeah, that's why I do it. And I feel like there'll be a lot of content, I'm sure, made about the stacking, like how we play stacks now is going to change definitely. And people who collect well, like, how do you place your teams? Vertical stacking, horizontal stacking, whatever we're going to call it. But yeah. Chani's in. He is late.
He'll be back to the beginning probably by now, but good to see you, Chani, my man. And yeah, Sanfisi defense with an Ange Ball attack. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yes, there. By the way, just seen Timo Werner's got Tottenham cards now. People will be rejoicing in the streets of White Hart Lane or North London or wherever they're at. But a lot of new faces come out, by the way. It's probably one of the things we should mention as well. Because over the last, I don't know how many new faces have done. Maybe there's been three batches of them. So they've been quite consistent, and it's nice some of the ones that are coming out, like the Kubarise, the Barca guy that started getting minutes, you know, so it's nice that someone's kind of emerged and got a card. And I hope this is a bit more of a signal of intent again. When I spoke to Soren after all the changes and everything that had happened, like, you know, one of the main things everyone's concerned about is just like how many in-season cards will be available for match day one of the in-season thing and all the rest of it, because Soren are so often reliant on, you know, approval of cards and all that kind of thing. And there's some novel ideas about how they might get around it. But I think that there must be something kind of slicked up in their process where they can get things done a bit quicker. Like when MLS launched, we didn't actually get every club, and most of the clubs that we did get didn't have every player on it right away. But I think they've maybe rebalanced maybe their threshold for release, and maybe they've got, you know, better, you know, through links with their partners now to get these things approved quicker than in a timely manner, etc. So seeing these new faces come in is brilliant. Like Timo Werner, was an early January signing. So I was going to say it was a deadline, but he was actually quite early in the window, if memory serves me right. But we've had one or two others that are like academy guys that have just broke out relatively late, and I think there's been a few later January signings that have been carded. So that's always a good sign, because when you're getting a collection on the go, oh, like Geraldo Becker, he's got a card now for Sociedad. That's one that I've got. It's frustrating when there's a card missing because of a signing, because the guy missed picture day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if we know there's this new season in the spring, let's say, you know, then that's kind of reassuring. There's a nice wee thing to see returning to the platform. Because we used to get new faces, used to be a thing, but not really had new faces on the platform for maybe like a year or so, really. It's just been club issues or leagues and move on to the next one.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, I'm having a little look now at some of the new. I see, Timo Werner's super rare. Tottenham is on the market now.
We still are waiting on J-League cards. Jay hastens to remind us.
Yes. We got K-League very quickly, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's there on the market.
Jesse Lingard, you going to get one?
Do you know what?
That must be right up your boat, Stish. Come on.
But he hasn't impressed me the first couple of games. I don't know if anyone else has been watching, but he has not set the pitch alight just yet. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I keep winning K-League cards at the moment. I keep winning Dejan cards. I've won two in-season Dejan cards, but not particularly good scorers, so they're not of much use to me. But yeah, I wouldn't mind a Jesse Lingard card. Whether or not I'll go out and buy one, I'm not sure. But let's have a look. His His number three is on, what's he going for at the minute? I mean, he's going for over 100 quid, 122 quid. I wouldn't pay that for him.
Nah.
Not yet. But I wouldn't mind winning one. If I won one, I'd keep hold of it. But I wouldn't pay 100 quid for one. I think, you know, in a couple of months, unless he goes absolutely start setting it alight, that's for me, I might wait until it's like 50, 60 quid.
He really should, but he should kick on there, shouldn't he? He should.
He should.
Yeah,
maybe he's just a little bit unfit still, but he's coming off the bench and he's not quite hit the ground running just yet. Just looking now at his scores, yeah, like no AA, you know, all-around score of 0.1. Once he starts starting games, and I think Seoul as well, they look... I mean, anyone who watches Seoul will tell you as well that, like, they are a frustrating team to watch. They should be way better than they are. At the moment, it's a bit disjointed. So I think from an SO5 perspective, there isn't really... I've got a few Seoul options. I think I've got the ones you need. I've got Ju-sung at the back. I've got Kang when he plays. I wouldn't mind a Cho Young-wook. Like, I did have him before. I wouldn't mind him back again. But yeah, having like Baek Jong-bom, like I've got the wrong goalkeeper because he's not starting at the moment. I think he gets back in at some point. But yeah, it's a difficult team to watch. I was in South Korea. I was in Seoul a couple of weeks ago. Didn't manage to get to the ground. But
did you meet Osmar?
No, I didn't meet Osmar. I didn't. I did meet someone from the SoRare community. He runs the Church of Delbridge ship posting account on Twitter.
Love it.
He gave me... Oh, do you know what? Have I got the back? Oh, look at this. This is for the sake of everyone who's watching. But
me?
Yeah. Shout out Church of Delbridge. He hooked me up with these, which are absolutely amazing. So firstly, this is like, I guess, like his press card or whatever. Is a Delbridge, my autofocus is not going to catch that, but is a Harrison Delbridge like press card or something for Incheon, because he works for Incheon, but he's also got his SoRare card on the flip of this card. It's like a plastic card. I don't know if it's a season ticket or what, but yeah, that's that. But he also gave me this, right? Look at this, like K-League Panini cards.
Ooh.
And there he is, Osmar.
Hey!
Osmar. And I've got Sassinia as well. Where is he?
Oh, beauty.
Find him. I forgot to show these to my son last night. He is going to be buzzing. We've got him a load of other bits and bobs. There he is, the goat. Sassinia Panini card, mate. Look at that.
Beauty.
So, yeah, buzzing about that. There we are. Hong Jong-ho, another SoRare legend for me. Yeah, it's some like shinies and that, the Jean book. So yeah, that was as close as I got to meeting Osmar, was managing to pick his Panini card up. But it's a nice one. I mean, I might have to get a little something to put that in. Just it'll be nice in the wall. Might make my studio look a little bit more interesting for the crew that watch the podcast. But shout out the Church of Delbridge on Twitter. Go give them a follow.
Boom, boom.
There's a lot of the Incheon shit posting on Twitter. But yeah, we had a good chat about SoRare, and funny, isn't it? Like, if you travel the world, you'll find someone who will want to talk to you about SoRare. And normally it's the other way around. Like, you start talking to someone about SoRare and realize that you're boring them. But then when you meet someone else who plays, you can literally just sit and talk about it for hours. So, yeah.
So best things about the beat-ups. And we've got SoRare Sevens next month as well. 7th of April.
Where Falkirk. Is that?
Falkirk.
Falkirk? Oh, it's been cold up there, isn't it?
In April, it's not as cold as it usually is. It's still cold, but it should be as non-cold as it gets.
That is amazing. Warm. What date is that?
It's a Sunday, 7th of April.
7th of April. I don't know if I'm about, but if I can get up there, I'll come up. I'm just looking at pictures of Falkirk. It looks splendid. We've got some interesting structures there.
Yeah, they do. They've got it's the canal you've probably seen there, or the horse heads, the Kelpies, and there's a few things there. Yeah.
So you play? Are you going to be playing football, Quinny? You going to be playing?
I won't be there like for the football, but I'll be there after the after the sevens and do a podcast kind of thing there again, because it's like it's birthday season at Casa de Quinn. So yesterday was my youngest son's birthday. It's my birthday on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. And then my wife's birthday is 2nd of April, and my oldest son's birthday is 6th of April.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like, all the Quinns have their birthday within 4 weeks. It's a blooming nightmare. So, we've just begun the the gauntlet. We had little Quinn, his birthday yesterday. And then, so, it's on the 7th, basically, is the point of this. And I've got other stuff on.
Yeah.
As well as Celtic versus Rangers that day, also. So I'll be there like post the sevens stuff, if you get me. Because I've got plates to spin and balls to juggle at the same time.
I've similarly, it's my mum's birthday that weekend, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to get up. But I'm away again this weekend, Quinny. I'm off on my travels again this Saturday. I'm going to Prague. I'll be in Prague this weekend. Quick one in and out, playing at Cross Club. If anyone's on a mad random stag do this weekend, then come to Cross Club in Prague. I'll be there early, so I might even see if there's a footy fixture on, because I hear it's pretty good to go to Sparta Prague. Let's see what they've got going on the weekend. I've got an early flight. I'm going to be there for hours before the game. They play on Sunday. I'm flying in the morning, so I'm going to miss the fixture.
Ah,
what a Prague. There's another team in Prague, though, isn't there? There's Sparta Prague and there's another team, Slavia. Prague.
Cheers, Link.
Ooh, 1 and 2 in the division as well. Let's see if they've got a fixture on. Matches. No, they're on Sunday at 2 as well. So I'm going to miss them. Sadly, going to miss the football again. But yeah, I'm going to get out to Asia again and see some football. Like, that was a bit of a gutter. Go all the way out there and not being able to go and see a game like. So I'm going to get out there maybe before the end of the season again.
Last thing I'll ask you, Stish, is if you didn't empty your wallet, would you have bidded on this?
No, not for me. Even as a collectible, I think he's too old. Like, it isn't Lionel Messi, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, the one thing you have got is that is in season
Messi.
It's in season for like a whole year now, isn't it? Because the MLS has just started. So, I mean, if you was a unique player, maybe. I mean, that, I don't know, what price do you think that goes for?
I think I heard something say 10 ETH, and it's hard for me to get that out of my head. But seeing it 1.5 hours away, not moved in 2 days, that may be else you wrote, but we'll see.
I think 10 ETH. Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, the difficult thing at the minute is a lot of these like crypto guys. Like, it'd be really interesting to see what people like Pranksy do, because Pranksy is in the crypto space and they'll be seeing all the price action on ETH. And I'm given how, you know, like the NFT market hasn't really kicked back off. So I wonder if a lot of people like him might be looking at this and be like, might want to hold the ETH for a bit. I'm not sure. So be interesting to see how high some of the crypto guys go. But yeah, I think it's Lionel Messi, isn't it? He is old, but he's probably still got another 4 seasons in him, hasn't he?
That's what Agent Cooper reckons. He's still got his swan song in Argentina to have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got to do that, hasn't he? He's got to go back to Newell's, surely.
He's got to win CONCACAF Champions League with Miami. And then go to Argentina and win a Libertadores or something, doesn't he? And then he's thoroughly completed football. Like, you know.
I hope he does. But hopefully we get another 3 or 4 years at least of him at the level he's doing.
I know everyone says the Newell's thing, right? But he is like it's mad at all but Maradona, isn't it? And when you think about Maradona, you don't think Newell's old boys, you think Boca, don't you? So imagine Messi in a Boca kit. That'd be weird but cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Quinny, 42 seconds, Alvaro Valles, super rare.
Oh, that's a nice one. He's in bad form now, but...
0.3 ETH.
He is definitely transferring in the summer.
To who?
100%. Don't know, but the club have said he is leaving. Like, he had a Premier League bid in January, rejected, and there's about half a dozen La Liga teams better than Las Palmas that could probably use him. So he could go anywhere, mate. Could go to fucking Nottingham Forest.
I've just put the next bid in.
This is it. I'll see you there.
Yeah, because talking about like having that champ goalkeeper, super rare.
He's good, mate. He's very good. I fancy we stay in La Liga, but you never know.
I've got Araujo as well. I'm not paying more than... I've just put the final bid in. 995, that's it. I'm not going over a grand. I mean, that... Looking at that is making me itchy already. Someone's just outbid me. I'm not going back in over that. But, I mean, like 0.33 ETH for a starting... That makes me think, that's not too bad. You know?
This guy will be raging at you, Stish.
I've just cost him, yeah.
Just fucked him for 75 quid.
Yeah, I'm not... cheeky, but that, I'm looking at that because I've got a couple of Las Palmas supers as well. So it's like, that would be a potentially sensible one to pick up, but...
He's not a guy I'd want to pay in season for because the summer is going to be mad jeopardy. It's only 7 weeks of champion, not even La Liga yet, you know?
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't really need it in season. I could probably pick an old super air keeper up because all of my supers are, all of my good ones anyway, are out of season anyway already. So I'm only really going to be competing in the champ, in the, what do you call it? The classic mode anyway. But I do have good cards outfield. I just need a half decent goalkeeper. But yeah, maybe I don't need it in season. So it's probably good that I got outbid on that because I could probably save myself a few hundred quid. Pick up something similar. All good, mate. But Severa went for 0.325. Yeah, he's a good keeper. I've got his rare. He's a good goalkeeper, Severa. I paid more than that for his rare. What I just bid on that plant. Can't believe how much I spent on that Severa.
ETH wise.
Yeah, I think I paid an ETH for it. Let's have a look. I've definitely overpaid for him. Where is he? Let's see what I paid for him. I'll tell you. It's definitely, yeah, £983, one ETH. Crazy. What's he worth now? 130 quid. Oh dear. If you can't laugh, you cry, don't you? So yeah. Well, I've got a few of them in my gallery anyway. That's a whole other podcast. But yeah. Severa rare, one ETH, probably about a year ago. Something like that. Crazy. What a time to be alive, Quinny.
Indeed. And we're about to go sailing off into the final game week of the old so rare as it is. So unlocked and loaded and ready to go, Stish. I've got about 13 teams that I fancy to break my heart in some way, shape, or form this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I've got most of my team building done. I will go in sort of like destroy and rebuild it today because I can already see some of my big lineups have like... I'm probably going to leave Mbappe out. I don't think I'll even bother with him this weekend. That said, it's international break, isn't it, after this? So maybe he plays. Yeah. I don't know. I've got to figure this out. I'm going to do some reading, rebuild my teams. But yeah, I think I've got some strong options this weekend. So I'm going to be going for the Cap 240 again, super rare and rare probably. And then all-star rare plus. My champ team's looking really good, actually. Donnarumma in goal, Grimaldo, Musiala, Kane and Kimmich.
Nice.
Lineup strength of 93. I think that's a strong.
Oh, Stish, do you know the biggest thing you've missed since you've been away?
What?
Kimmich is a... Kimmich
right isn't back. As good as... He's been playing at right back, hasn't he?
You need Goretzka. You don't want Kimmich anymore. Know, you want Goretzka. It's Goretzka, mate.
I'm honest, because I didn't put him in, but he did actually still put up a really good score the other week when they won 8-1. But I put him in like cap mode instead because of that. He's not hitting...
It's Kimmich. It's a cap mode player now. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
On the right fixture, at right back, he's going to score 70 to 80. But, you know, if you've got him sat in defensive mid, he's at 80 to 100. So, yeah, I don't know. It is a good fixture for them, though. Off the back of last week, I fancy him, even at right back. I think he might outscore a lot of my options. So,
very good cap.
In the minute, he's in there. But it might change. I might stick I could stick Verts in there. I could go, I don't know, what else have I got? I mean, I can't risk Mbappe. I could put Cancelo in there, maybe. He might be an option.
Strong lineups. Loving
it. Yeah, I've got some good options definitely this weekend. Some good fixtures as well for the good players that I've got. So fingers crossed I can pick a team's worth of players who are going to start. Veerman might be back in the mix. He obviously played in the week. So he might be in contention for a big lineup this weekend. That's always good to have him back. So yeah, I'm feeling good. I reckon I should scrape a reward. Hopefully one of the thresholds. And yeah, we'll be all smiles again next week with a bit of luck, mate.
That's it. Excellent. And thanks to everyone who's joined us live. First time we're doing this one in a wee while. So appreciate everyone that's taking time out of their day to join the live chat, contribute to the show, make it as good as it's been. So thanks to all the Sorare scouts and managers, heroes and legends around the world that have tuned in with us today. And yeah, it's been a great one. I hope you enjoy the rest of it. And I'll see you on this channel later tomorrow for the deadline show with me and Harry Trades. Me, Stish, and maybe we'll have the full end product back together next week. Let's see how it all pans out. But Stishy boy, great to see you again. Glad you had good travels, mate.
And you, mate. Been a pleasure. Never a chore. Always a pleasure.